From running the length of New Zealand to cycling through every state in the USA, Anna McNuff has had amazing adventures all over the world. And now she's heading to Bournemouth to share her insights and stories at Bournemouth University's Festival of Learning. I caught up with a self-confessed mischief maker to find out more about her inspiration, motivation, and why a dinosaur onesie perhaps isn't the most practical running outfit.
I am Anna McNuff. I am an adventurer, a speaker, and I also say a self-titled mischief maker because I definitely don't take myself too seriously. So I spend my life going off around the world doing long human-powered journeys by running, cycling, swimming, rollerblading, and then I return back home to the UK and I tell stories about them.
And where did that all start for you? What inspired you to go out on your first adventure and undertake your first challenge?
Well, I grew up in a very sporty family. So my parents, I've actually got two Olympians as parents. They both used to row for Great Britain back in the 1980s. And so I grew up in an environment where we were always outdoors. I've got two brothers. We were always down the BMX track, just ragging around, just enjoying being outside, basically. So I grew up in that environment. And then I was an elite athlete for a while. I went into the GB rowing team and spent some time racing around the world. And that gave me a little taster of actually seeing the world. But the problem with it was that I wasn't seeing the world beyond the 2 kilometre lake that I was racing on. So I started to start feeling like there was perhaps more and there was something else that I should be doing. So when I was in my late 20s, I was in a job, in a standard job, as lots of people are. And I was sat there and I just kind of felt like I'd lost my way a little bit. So I had my aha moment. And I thought, there has to be a way that I can combine this love of seeing the world and travel, but I can do it in a way that I'm actually pushing my body and testing myself mentally and physically. And then I started reading about people who went on these journeys, these long adventures by bike, or they'd walk, or they'd just run with all their stuff on their back. And it just blew my mind. I thought that means that if they're traveling the world in that way, then I can do that too. So I negotiated a sabbatical from my job that I was in, and I set off on a beautiful pink bicycle on a mission to cycle through every single state of America, which was about 11,000 miles.
That's quite a big change from sitting in an office. How do you even begin to prepare for something like that? Or did you just think, I'm going to do this, don't worry about it too much, just get out there and see how it goes?
Now, I think it depends where you are on the scale, from planner to kind of naive, and I'm somewhere in the middle. I really enjoy the planning process. I love looking and researching and working out routes. But equally, I think people can overplan, and then people get frightened. So I thought, right, I don't want to do too much planning because I'm going to scare myself, because I was looking at things like going across the Nevada desert for a week. And I knew there was roughly, 80 to 60 miles between towns, but I thought I don't want to look into too much detail because I don't want to scare myself so much so that I don't go. So it just started with anything in life. You look at it as a whole. You think, how on earth am I gonna get that to work? And then actually, my brain just went a bit logical, and I thought, well, if I break these things down, then what I've got to do is I've got to learn how to ride and fix a bike. I've got to make sure I've got all the equipment I need, which probably needs a bit of researching about, what kind of weathers I'm going to encounter and times of year and how quickly I think I'll move through the 50 states. And then I just need to work out a route. And so I did that, and it started with a budget, right? Because one of my biggest problems, obviously, is I couldn't afford to go. I had no money to go, so I thought, right, I need to spend less, save a bit more. And so I ended up taking a second job in a bike shop, and that meant that I didn't go out at all ever because I was working Monday to Friday in my normal office job, and then Saturday and Sunday in the bike shop. But I was learning to fix bikes, and I was getting a discount on my kit. So everything I did was just... So it had something to do with making a little piece of that plan just a little bit easier. So, basically started with a big plan and then broke it down to all the things I needed to do and realised it wasn't actually as scary when you did that.
And how was that for you? And what do you think the most important thing was that you learnt in that kind of first challenge that you undertook that you've then taken forward to all the other amazing things that you've gone on to do?
Oh, I just felt like, I don't know what it is that you do, where you just feel like you feel like so happy, on top of the world. I always think of it like a little compass I've got in my heart that sort of tick, tick, ticks, and then it hits north, and you think, oh, this is me. This is everything I love about the world and about life. And for me, those moments came when I was on my bike, middle of nowhere. There's no sound beyond just like the whir of my wheels and the sun coming up over some peak in the distance. And I just think, God, this planet is beautiful. You know, that is awesome. That gets me really high. And then I roll into a town and I meet some crazy man with one tooth spitting his tobacco on the floor and I can't understand his accent. And he says, you're on a pink bicycle, girl. You know, we have cars. And then, and I just, and every single day was like that. It was, I never knew what was coming around the next corner. I never knew what landscapes I was going to see, what wildlife I was going to see. And ultimately, that to me, just I just felt the most like me. That's what that trip was like. I just thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. You know, I've actually found something that I enjoy and that I love. And then the second element of it was I really wanted to do some things that actually gave back a little bit, because I had such an amazing upbringing and a really sporty, supportive environment. So throughout the 50 states, I was going into schools and speaking to the kids. At least one school per state, I'd go in, I'd take my pink bicycle in and I'd show them all my equipment, I'd talk to them about my route, and just to see their faces light up and just to see, God, that's possible, you know, you can go and cycle through our country, and also to show them how beautiful their country was, that for me added an extra sort of layer to the cake of saying, I'm loving what I'm doing, I'm enjoying every single day, but I'm also in some way, I hope, making a difference to someone else's life as well, and that for me was just everything that life is about. So yeah, it blew my mind, that first journey.
And that obviously sort of ignited that passion within you. And since then, you've gone on to do lots of different challenges, things from kind of running the Jurassic Coast dressed as a dinosaur to travelling across New Zealand and the Andes.
Life is just better in fancy dress. I honestly believe that. You know, you take an ordinary thing, like an 86-mile run, and that just sounds horrific. And then you say, well, if you dress up as a dinosaur and run it in a onesie, and you learn about the history of the Jurassic Coast along the way, that just gets 10 times more fun.
You must get some strange looks, though, along the way. Does it spark conversations? Do people kind of look at you and ask you why you're doing it?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's the point as well, because I think we can be very, very British sometimes about speaking to people and speaking to strangers especially, and wearing something ridiculous just takes all those barriers away, because we're naturally curious. So people will just ask you, like, what are you doing? You know, you're a grown 32-year-old woman. Why are you in a onesie? And then you just start this conversation and they immediately see that you're vulnerable and you're probably not taking yourself too seriously. And they just want, it's a great way to talk to people. And then, of course, if you're meeting people that are out there, they're the locals. So then you chat to them about the area and how things have changed, and you have a much better journey than if you just ran it in solitude, dressed in normal clothing, I think, yeah.
It must have got pretty hot and sweaty inside that onesie, though. Did you have a chance to kind of stop and wash it along the way, or was it just...
No, absolutely. So I said this to my... I was running it with a guy called Danny, and after probably half an hour on day one, I said, Danny, I was boiling up inside. I get quite hot anyway. And this was December, bearing in mind. So we thought, oh, we're really smug. We're going to be toasty. We're not going to be cold. We were so hot in these onesies, because they were proper kind of thick, you know, flannel. And so after the first half an hour, I said, Danny, have you got any scissors with you? And he said, why would I bring scissors with me? And then I said, I've got to find a way to cut these arms and legs off the onesie. And we didn't manage to do it that day. But the next day I got to the top of the hill and I was like, that's it, they're going. And so I de-limbed my dinosaur and turned it into a kind of, a weird looking armless, legless. And we kept the tail. And then Danny quickly followed suit, because he realised that he saw the light. And then we stood at the top of one of the hills, just basking in the glory of having the air flow through us, so that we weren't actually just sweaty dinosaurs anymore. Yeah.
And where does your inspiration come from? What motivates you to undertake particular challenges?
I think it always comes from a desire to learn and to grow for me. That's what adventure has become. It's become this mechanism for personal growth, which is, and for creativity as well, actually, because I love to write, I love to take pictures, I love to tell stories, and the adventure now gives me an excuse to do that. Whereas originally it started as, oh, I just love being outdoors and I love exercising, actually it kind of flipped the other way, and I get more out of it mentally than I do physically. So it gives me an excuse to be creative and to learn just about, how people react to stories and what resonates with people and what we enjoy to hear about when we're not actually there. So I have people that follow along on social media and they seem to enjoy it almost as if they were there, which is great. And then the other thing is that every time I go away on an adventure, I just learn something about myself, about what I want out of life, about my, things that I'm not so good at, especially if you're with someone else, about tolerance and patience. And so I just think, gosh, if I can keep doing that for the rest of my life, then there's just this limitless potential to the things I can learn and the ways I can grow. And I feel like that's only got to be a good thing. And I think it's a good thing for everyone else to do as well.
Well, have you got any advice for anybody who potentially either comes along to your talk or follows you on social media and thinks, I want to go there and have an adventure and push myself? What would you recommend that they do to make that a reality?
I would say the first thing is, I think some people, and this came out of a talk last night actually, someone asked a question and they said, well, you know, you've obviously got this instinctive drive and this never give up attitude. You know, do you think it's in everyone? Because I'm not sure that I have it. And I honestly believe that everyone has the ability in them to keep going and to push themselves to the most ridiculous limits. I'm talking the point where their mind hasn't broken, but their body is breaking, that kind of limit. The question is, do you want to? And I think so. The first thing is for people to say, to tell yourself, I am capable of that, because absolutely everyone is capable of that. I do believe it. And then it just comes back to a choice. Do you want to put yourself in that position? And why are you doing it? Is your motivation strong enough? But then once you've got that out of the way and you say, right, well, if I want to do it, I can. That's the first problem done. The second one is just starting, because it can get really overwhelming. I think if you look at big challenges, or you see people doing things like running countries or cycling countries, it doesn't need to be about that. You can do it if it's, you're trying to do your first 5K run. You know, that is a massive challenge too. So it's just about not getting put off by the bigger scheme of it and actually just taking the first steps, whether it's sorting out a training program or telling your mates you're going to go and do a race or booking your flight. Or something like that, or putting a little savings pot aside so that you start saving up money, like £20 a month or something, to go towards your adventure. I think it's just about those first few steps to start. And then once you start, you realise it's actually really exciting. And having a goal in your life and working towards something is amazing. It has all this momentum, will just carry you through.
So what's next for you then? Have you got anything else in the pipeline that you're planning on
doing?
Well,
I'm focusing on chilling out a bit at the moment, because I am now 6 weeks back from the Andes Mountains, from 6 months in the Andes, and I'm quite terrible at just putting something else in straight away and going, right, that's the next thing. And it means that I don't really have time to kind of process and to be as creative as I'd like. So I love writing books as well, so I definitely want to write a couple more books. So I will go away next summer, but for the time being, I'm just sort of taking the foot off the pedal a bit and focusing on turning the adventures I've done into stories so that other people can enjoy them as well, rather than just me knowing what's going on.
And obviously one of the places you'll be coming to do that is here in Bournemouth. You'll be giving two talks as part of our Festival of Learning. Are you looking forward to that? Are you planning on coming down in your dinosaur onesie again and taking a little stroll on the Jurassic Coast?
I think the mud on my dinosaur onesie absolutely is probably encrusted and smells a little bit too bad. So I'd probably wipe out half of the South Coast if I brought that down. But I will definitely be bringing down. I've got some special clothing that I'm definitely going to be bringing down with me. So that will be coming with me, because I take things on my adventures to actually just kind of brighten my days and make me feel a little bit better about the horrendous time. So I'll be bringing that with me. But more than that, I'm just going to bring some stories. I think I'm just going to share stories. I'm just going to try and take everyone that's in the audience and put them up that mountain with me or on that trail, and hopefully they get a feel of what it's like and get inspired to go out and do things themselves.
If you'd like to hear more from Anna, you can come along to her two free talks at the Festival of Learning on Saturday, 8th of July. Visit www.bournemouth.ac.uk/FOL for details and to book your free tickets.